Well, if you turn again, please, to Hebrews chapter 10. Our text this morning comes in the words from verse 5 through 7. When he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me, and burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Dear congregation, we have been thinking last Lord's Day about the voices that we hear at Bethlehem, voices which we are still able to hear today, voices that are just as loud, just as clear, and indeed just as wonderful as they were when they were first spoken. Last time from Micah 5 verse 2, we saw how the Holy Spirit is speaking at Bethlehem. Speaking to Bethlehem evening, the Holy Spirit welcoming the Savior who was born there at Bethlehem. Thou, Bethlehem Ephrata, out of thee he will come, who will be ruler of Israel. The Spirit explains to us who he is. He is born in time, but he is from everlasting. At the same time, in the same person, now this child born at Bethlehem is God and man. And he has come, the Spirit told us and tells us, that he has come to be the ruler of Israel. He has come to save Israel, to be the deliverer. And the Spirit tells us where he is going. He is going to God. That's why he's here. He is going to God. He's going as the ruler of Israel. He's going with his people graved on his heart, and he's going to bring them all to glory. And indeed, he won't stop until he brings all his people to glory and says to the Father, Father, behold, I and the children that thou hast given me. So the Spirit tells us at his birth, this is who he is, this is why he is here. And so he is born, we said, under the glorious welcome of the Holy Spirit's voice. But there is another voice here now at Bethlehem that we are still able to hear today, and it's the child's voice, the child's voice. Now again, if we were there physically, we would have heard this child crying. We would have heard the voice of the child. The hymn that says, no crying he makes is wrong. Crying is what a child does, and Jesus was a real child. No sinful crying, certainly, but he did cry. He's a real baby. He's a real child, a real man, and communicates by crying. But that's not the voice, that's not the sound that we're referring to here. Unlike any other child, we are able to hear this child speaking at his birth. And we are able to hear what he says. You know, boys and girls, the name of this child is Jesus. And you know what that name means. The name Jesus means Savior. He will save his people from their sins. But this child also has another name. And one of the other names this child has is the Word. If you would go to the first verse of John's Gospel, you would find there, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But then if you go to verse 14 of chapter 1 of John, you find this, that the Word was made flesh. Really, it's saying that the Word, who is the Son of God, he was made flesh. He was born. He came into this world. This is speaking about his incarnation. This little child at Bethlehem, therefore, is the Word of God, the Word of God that lives and abides forever. You don't think that at the incarnation, the Word would be silenced. You don't think, do you, that when he comes into the world, the Word would be silent? No, when he comes into the world, it is as true then as it was true when he spoke the worlds into being. It is as true when he spoke in his public ministry. It is as true then as it is true here at Bethlehem. He is the Word that lives and abides and speaks forever. It doesn't matter where you find him. It doesn't matter when you find him. He is the Word. His voice can always be heard. He is never silent. It is always true, wherever you find the Word, that my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And so, here at Bethlehem, we hear his voice. And our text in Hebrews 10, quoting Psalm 40, makes it very clear that he is speaking when he comes into the world. Now, indeed, that can be a reference to his whole life, but it certainly must include the incarnation, the being born of the Son of God into our nature. When he cometh into the world, when he's born, he saith. This child, therefore, that we see here at Bethlehem is speaking. And this is what he's saying: sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. And if you go back to Psalm 40, you find that the word, in Hebrew at least, has the idea of delight. I delight to do thy will. So this is what the child is saying as he comes into the world. And what he's telling us here in this passage is this. He's telling us very clearly, I am here on a mission. I am here on a mission. I have work that I have to do. I have a mission to be accomplished. That's what we hear when we hear him say, lo, I come. There's a sense of purpose. There's a sense of mission. He has a task. He has a mission. And he is saying, lo, I come to fulfill this, to do this. He says, I understand the reason why I have been born. Which of us can say that? Most of us take years to work out our calling in life, the mission, the work that we need to do. Yes, we can speak generally, and we can say, even of the youngest infant, that your chief end, the reason you're here, is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. But what is our specific calling? What is the work that the Lord would have us to do? Is that not what Saul of Tarsus asked? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Well, here at the very beginning, this child understands why he is here and what he is to do. In his birth, he is telling us that he understands his mission. I have come to do the will of my Father. And you could ask, well, what is that will? How do you know? Well, he says, it's in the volume of the book. He's speaking there about the scriptures at large, the volume of it, the totality of it, all the scriptures. They speak about me. It's the scriptures that is giving me the work, the mission that I have to do. And what he's saying then is, I am here on a mission. And he also here tells us, I understand what the will of my Father is not. I understand what the will of my Father is not. You get that in verse 5 and 6. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice an offering thou wouldest not. God, he is saying, does not desire this. And then in verse 6, there's an elaboration. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Yeah, but don't we say, but God is the one who appointed these sacrifices in the Old Testament. God is the one who commanded them. Indeed, God is sometimes angry with the people for not bringing the best of the sheep and for the sacrifice. But which of all the thousands and millions of sacrifices in the Old Testament could God look at and say, in you I am well pleased? See, these sacrifices of the Old Testament, they are pictures pointing to another one sacrifice. That was their intention, to picture, to show forth the one sacrifice in which God would say, here is my pleasure. And once that sacrifice comes, once that comes, you can write over every other sacrifice, no pleasure, no pleasure. These sacrifices were for a time. But you see, what this child is saying at his birth is this: that time has now come. The time for the pictures is over. The time of the types and the shadows is over. The reality has come. And he is saying, I am that reality. And I think that the application for us is this: do we understand what the will of God is not in regard to our acceptance with him? So I don't intend bringing any offering, any. I'm not going to go and offer a burnt offering or a sin offering with an animal. But do you desire to offer anything else this morning? Is there something else today that you are trusting in other than his one sacrifice for sin? What you need to understand is this, in the light of Christ, his coming, and his sacrifice is this, that over every other effort that we make to be accepted with God outside of this one sacrifice, God is saying this: I have no pleasure. I have no pleasure. Christ is saying, I am here on a mission. I understand what the will of my Father is not. But here now he is saying this too: my body has been prepared to be the great sacrifice for sin. My body has been prepared to be the great sacrifice for sin. This is my Father's will. I understand his will. This is the mission that he has given. And oh, dear friends, there was never a mission like this one. There was never a work like this. Angels have been sent on difficult missions. Angels were sent right into Sodom and Gomorrah. Michael, the archangel, contended with Satan, the devil, and rebuked him. A difficult mission. Moses was given a very difficult and hard mission. Go to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Jonah was given a difficult task. Go to Nineveh and tell them to repent. Elijah was sent to Ahab in Naboth's vineyard in the act of his sin. Jeremiah was given a hugely unpopular message of rooting up and breaking down. Paul was sent on many a dangerous mission, many perils, he says. Perils of the sea, perils of robbers, perils of hunger, deaths often, he says. But my dear friends, there was never a mission like this. There was never a work so difficult as the salvation of Christ's people. This is his mission. This is his work, to take away the sin of his people, to remove iniquity and transgression from Jacob. A most difficult assignment. How is it to be done? He could have asked. On your body, the Father would say, I must lay all the sins of all your people. I must put them all upon this body. What have my people done? He could have asked. And the Father could say, out of their hearts have proceeded all manner of evil. Adulteries are there. Fornications are there. Murders are there. Lying is there. The works of the flesh, the things they do, they're obvious, they're manifest. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry is there. Witchcraft is there. Hatred, wrath, envy, murder, drunkenness, Sabbath breaking. You could go on and on. All these sins are there. And what the Father is saying is, I must put all these sins upon you, upon your body. How many are there? More than you can count. That's what it says here in Psalm 40, verse 12. More than the hairs of your head. Try counting the hairs of your head, children. Try doing it. Try to count them. You can't count them. And that's the idea. That's the idea of the number of sins that are coming upon Christ. You cannot count them. We can't count our own sins of one day, far less of one lifetime, far less the sins of a multitude that no man can number, and they are all coming upon him. And what are the wages of sin, he might ask? The wages of sin is death. Do we understand? Can we begin to understand or measure what the Son is being asked to do? He has been asked to take in his body the pains of hell. There is so much to wonder at Bethlehem. It is indeed so marvelous. It is good news. It is peace on earth and joy towards men. But we must never forget what the child is telling us here. The reason the Son of God receives a body is so that he could die for the sins of his people. Why, O you who are the brightness of your Father's glory, why you who is the express image of his person, why are you here with weak, frail, feeble flesh? And he would answer, because my children are flesh and blood. I have likewise taken the same so that I could deliver them from him who has the power of death, that is the devil. That's why I'm here. That's why he's saying, a body thou hast prepared for me. Surely we would think, though, surely the sight of sin, surely the awful sight of the huge number of sins that would come upon him, the thought of the darkness of Calvary, the thought of the pains of hell would make him go back and say, this is too much. But listen to this babe at Bethlehem in verse 9 of Hebrews 10. Then understanding my mission, then understanding all that is involved in the taking away of sin, then said I, lo, I come, I delight to do thy will, O my God. And that's the last thing here we see, that we hear the child saying. Not only I am here on a mission, I understand what the will of my Father is not. I understand there's no other way. Not only my body has been prepared to be the great sacrifice for sin, but this child is also saying here marvelously, I delight to do the will of my Father. There's the will of the Father, and here is the willingness of the Savior. I delight to do this will. Here already at Bethlehem, as he comes into the world, he looks at this body that the Father has prepared, prepared to be the sacrifice for sin, and he warmly welcomes this body. Yes, he says, lo, I come to do thy will. I delight to do this. He looks at the body and he sees it's a prepared body. Prepared in a most unique way. When you would take a lamb for a sacrifice, you had to check it. You had to make sure it was without blemish. at about a year old. But this child from his birth is prepared. He is without blemish. And the son sees that the father has prepared this. The Holy Spirit has formed this. The dust of earth prepared for the God of heaven. And this, what is the son saying? Delight. This is a delight. And so at Bethlehem, the Son of God looks at the real human body, bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. And as he looks at that body, he sees the same nature of the people that he loves. They, the people I have loved with an everlasting love, they are flesh and blood. Then I must be flesh and must take flesh and blood too. He looks at that prepared body. He thinks of his people. And now he can say, this is bone of my bone and this is flesh of my flesh. Now the two can be one. Now the two can be joined together. I delight, he says, in this. I delight to do this will. This has always been where my delights are. And looking at this body, he is saying, now I can take my sin, their sin, on me. Now I can suffer and die for them. Now I can take away their sin. Now I can bring them to glory. I delight, he is saying. Ah, says the infant at Bethlehem, here is the body that will bear their griefs. Here is the body that will carry their sorrows. Here is the body that will sigh and weep. Here is the head on which they will place a crown of thorns. Here is the face on which they will spit. Here is the back they will smite. Here are the hands and the feet that they will pierce. Here is the body that will hang on the cursed tree. He is the mouth that will drink the cup of damnation. Ah, Holy Father, he says, looking at this body thou hast prepared for me. I delight to do thy will. Here the infant says, is the body that knows no sin and yet will be made sin for his people. Here is the body that the drunkards will make songs about. Here is the body that will experience the pains of hell. Here is the body that in his person will reach the bottom of the bottomless pit. And what do we find in this child? Do we find any reluctance, any hesitation, any pulling back, any unwillingness? Oh, is Jesus Christ here not fairer than all the children of men? How many, in being called to difficult missions, began to run away or to make an excuse? Jonah fled to Tarshish. Moses complained, I can't speak. I'm slow of speech. Jeremiah said, I can't speak either. I'm a child. Do we not often say there is a lion in the streets, we cannot go now? But this infant king, when he sees and takes this body prepared to be the sacrifice for sins, this is what he says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. When he comes into the world, the Holy Spirit gives him a glorious welcome. But when he comes into the world, he welcomes his body. He says, as it were, welcome human flesh, welcome weak nature, welcome tiredness, welcome fatigue, welcome sorrows and grief and tears, welcome insult and reproach. Oh, human flesh, you are the nature in which my people have fallen. You are the nature in which my people have sinned. You are the nature in which I will suffer and die. You are the nature in which I will rise triumphant over the grave. You are the nature in which I will ascend to heaven itself on behalf of my people. You are the nature in which I will come again to receive my people to everlasting glory. Oh, body prepared for me, I welcome you with great delight. Oh, maybe you're here and saying, Christ, how could he delight to save a sinner like me? I'm such a great sinner. I'm so full of sin. I'm so full of unbelief. I'm so full of all these things that would make him reject me. What you must see here is the love and the willingness of Christ to save the greatest of sinners and the blackest of sinners. He was willing to go to the lowest hell for sinners. Not too low for you. Oh, don't we see the love of the Savior? The deep, deep desire to save his people from their sins. That's why he's here at Bethlehem. The child is saying, I welcome. That's really what this whole thing is about. The child is saying, I welcome the body my Father has prepared to be the sacrifice for sins. And just one last thing here, and it's this. But surely, Hugh Martin says, surely this body is prepared for us as much as for him. Are we not able to say of the one whose body this is what we can say of no other body? Can faith not look at him and say, who bore our sins on his body on the tree? This body is prepared for us as much as it is for him. Can faith not say, he in this prepared body, he in this prepared body which he so lovingly welcomed with such delight, he in that body was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Surely this body is prepared for us as it is for him. Will Christ this morning be the only one who welcomes his body? Will we not welcome it too? Will we not have a welcome for him who so welcomed our flesh so that he could save his people? No, Martin says, we join with him in rejoicing at his birth. Bethlehem is the very birthplace of our hope and salvation. Lo, we come to see and to embrace and to give praise for the body prepared, for bearing our sins and carrying our sorrows, and being reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. Lo, we come with him and like him to do thy will, O God. Put thy law within our hearts as it is in his. When he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared for me. Then said I, lo, I come, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Amen. Let us pray.